All right, here we go. We've been looking at spiritual warfare now for quite a while. And we've been right in Ephesians chapter 6, where God gives us this full armor of God. We talked about each piece. It's interesting, I think, that he starts this passage when he talks about the armor, the whole armor that he gives us to wear. He starts it by listing things that protect us first. Did you notice that? Things that are we might call defensive armor. He lists five of those pieces. We've already talked about these. There's the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Those are all defensive weapons. They protect us from the enemy's attacks. And he gives those things first. He only gives one piece of armor or one weapon that is designed to attack the enemy that we'd call an offensive weapon. And that's the sword. And he mentions it in verse 17. He calls it the sword of the Spirit, which he explains immediately. He says, it's the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's right at the top of your sheet there. And I think this is really important. It's as if God's saying to us, look, before you get too excited about going out and attacking the devil, before you get too excited about chasing him off, you got to realize you got a clever enemy. And you need to have your defensive armor in place first, or you'll be in trouble. I think that's what God's saying here. He tells us many times in Scripture things about Satan that need to be warnings. It ought to cause red flags to go up in our mind. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Like Satan has tricks. And he said, we better not be ignorant of those things. In the Ephesians passage we're looking at in chapter 6, he says, we need the whole armor of God so that we can stand against, do you remember this? We can stand against the schemes, or the King James says the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the devil. He's got schemes. He's got plans, and they're very subtle. In Revelation chapter 12, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. He's very deceptive. In 2 Corinthians 11, he says he masquerades as an angel of light. Looks very attractive sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, be sober-minded, be diligent, be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God's given us lots of warnings here that we've got a clever, scheming, subtle, deceptive enemy. And he's looking for opportunities to bring us down. He's just trying to do that. And he's far more clever and deceptive than most of us realize. We don't realize all of his tricks. We're not aware of it. And listen, guys, we will be deceived by him if we do not have our armor in place. If you think, I'm cool, I can handle this, I know he talks about the armor, but I'm not worried about that, you're in trouble. We need God's armor in place because Satan knows how to bring people down. He's very skilled at it. He's been doing it for millennia. You know, this whole thing is based on a metaphor, this whole passage of Scripture. And the metaphor is of a Roman soldier. Well, think about a Roman soldier that has a really good sword, sharp, two-edged sword, and he's really well trained at using that sword. He's really good at it. But he's going out into battle without a belt and without a breastplate and without shoes and without a shield and without a helmet. How long do you think he's going to last? He's not. He's going to go down in a minute. He's got to have that defensive armor in place before he grabs that sword. So, when we take up the full armor of God, we've got to have all those pieces in place. But when we do, God says, now I want you to take up the sword. And he says, it's the Word of God. Take up the sword, and I want you to use it to attack the enemy. That's an offensive weapon. Drive him off. And God's given us lots of Scripture passages. I've given you a sheet there that you can take with you and look at some of those later. But, you know, that's how you drive Satan off, with Scripture. Jesus set the example for us. Do you remember? You remember what happened right after Jesus was baptized? He went to John the Baptist to get baptized. Do you remember what happened next? Any of you know this story? You know what happened next? The very next thing that happened, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And he fasted there 40 days. And you know what happened to him at the end of that 40 days? Anybody remember this? Satan came to him to tempt him. Jesus was weak. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. You know what Satan tempted him to do? Do you remember what he tempted Jesus to do? The very first thing. He said, look at these rocks. You know what you can do? You're hungry, Jesus. You know what you can do with these rocks? You remember what he tempted him to do? Yeah, turn them into bread. You want to eat? You're the Son of God. Turn those rocks into bread. Do you know what Jesus said to Satan? First words out of his mouth. Satan, it is written. It is written. And then he quoted scripture. The scripture he quoted was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But Satan, do you think Satan just ran off then? No, he kept tempting Jesus. He said, you know what you could do, Jesus? You could go up on the pinnacle of the temple, jump off, the angels of God would catch you and save you, and that would show how powerful you are. And Jesus knew that would be wrong. So you know what Jesus said to Satan again? He said, Satan, it is written. There it is again. And he quotes scripture again. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan tried one more time. He said, Jesus, I want you to realize I've got power over all these nations. And I'll let you rule over these nations if you'll just worship me. We'll do this thing together. You know what Jesus said? He said, you guess it, can't you? Yeah, he said, begone, Satan, because it is written, you shall worship the Lord God only. Him only you shall serve. Yeah. He quoted scripture against Satan. Now, did Jesus have to quote scripture? Well, he chose to quote scripture because he was setting us an example. This is how you're going to get rid of Satan. This is how you're going to defeat Satan, by quoting scripture. And I'm convinced that many, many Christians, maybe some of you in this room, are getting beat up by the devil because we're not using the sword. God's provided us a sword and we're not using it. And some people maybe feel a little silly. They think, I don't know. It seems kind of silly to talk to Satan. I'll just ask God to do that for me. Listen, guys, this is really important principle of Christian life. You realize God's got you here to prepare you for eternity, right? I mean, if you've trusted Jesus, and some of you may not have, and if you haven't, please talk to some of us because we want to help you learn what it means to trust Jesus. But if you're trusting Jesus, God could have said, okay, you're good, come on home, and take you out right immediately, right? But he doesn't do that. Why? He's preparing you for eternity in this life. This is the time we have to get prepared. This is the time. And he delegates things to us. He says, for example, I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to be evangelists. Now, I could say, well, God, I'd rather you do that. You know how to get people's attention. You know how to convict them of sin. You know how to bring them to repentance. Why don't you do that? Well, of course God can do that. But he said, no, I'm training you for eternity. I'm giving you that responsibility. Some of you may know Christian friends who get in trouble. They get into sin. And you think, well, I guess I could talk to them about it. In fact, God tells you, you're supposed to do that. Try to help them come out of sin. Help them realize the mistake they're making. But we might say, well, I don't really like to do that. God, why don't you just do that? You can get their attention. You can remind them. You can show them. Give them a good sermon or something. God says, you can't delegate that back to me. I'm telling you to do it. It's part of your preparation for eternity. What about prayer? Some of us say, I'm not very good at prayer. It takes a lot of time. I don't know. Lord, you don't have to take care of everything. Just take care of everybody. God says, wait a minute. I'm commanding you to pray. It's part of your preparation for eternity. Drive off the devil. Talk to the devil. I don't feel good about that. God, I'd rather you just take care of him. God says, no, I'm commanding you to do this. I'm delegating it to you. I'm preparing you for eternity. It's part of our job. It's what we got to do. All these things, they're part of our preparation for eternity. Some people will say, well, you know what? I don't like the idea of talking to the devil because that sounds like praying to the devil. I don't know if any of you ever heard of Adrian Rogers. He was one of the great pastors of the Southern Baptist Convention. He died several years ago. He was pastor of that huge Bellevue Baptist Church out in Memphis. I love what he said about this. He said, are you praying to the devil when you tell him to go? He said, are you praying to a cat when you say scat? No, that's not praying to the devil. It's just doing what God told us to do, to tell him to leave. So I've given you a sheet with a whole bunch of verses. You can probably guess what I'm going to say next, can't you? I've said it a whole bunch of times. You know what I'm going to urge you to do, right? Memorize some of these. Pick some of them out. Thank you, Francis. Memorize some of these. Pick some of them out and memorize them. I don't expect you to memorize the whole thing, especially real quickly. There are a lot of verses on there I haven't memorized. But pick some of them out and memorize them. And the next time you realize that Satan's trying to mess with you, make sure you got on the belt of truth. Make sure you got on the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure you got on the shoes of peace. Make sure you're carrying the shield of faith. Make sure you got the helmet of salvation. And then just take up the sword and say, Satan, get out of here. Because Jesus tells me that he's given me power over all the power of the enemy. And that includes you, Satan. Or Jesus says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under my feet. You got to go. Or Jesus says, the weapons of my warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of your stronghold, Satan. You've got to go. Or Satan, the Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy all your works, Satan. Or Satan, the Bible says, if I resist you, you have to flee. Or the Bible says, greater is he who is in me, that's Jesus, than you who are in the world, Satan. This is all scripture. I love this one, about the third or fourth one down there, I think. Jesus said, when a strong man fully armed, you see that? It's a beautiful thing to quote against Satan, because Jesus gave us these words. You know who the strong man is? It's the devil. And Jesus said, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own homestead, it's like Satan guarding his territory, his possessions remain undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he, that's Jesus, is stronger than the devil, attacks him, he overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor in which he relied and distributes his plunder. Jesus has done that to Satan. Satan doesn't like to be reminded of that. That's part of the word of God. It cuts him. He doesn't like it. Another wonderful one, I think, is Satan, get out of here, because the Bible says, I overcome you with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of my testimony, and loving not my life even unto the death. All these scriptures are on that sheet, and there are a whole bunch more. Just remember, guys, we've got an enemy. He's real. He's clever. He's sneaky. He's deceptive. He deceives an awful lot of people, and he brings a lot of Christians into trouble. He does it all the time. He loves to do it, and so many Christians have just given him a free rein. God's given us armor. He's given us a powerful, sharp, two-edged sword, his word, and we can use it to drive him off. We just have to learn how to do it. Takes a little practice, takes a little work, takes a little memory. Take up the armor, guys. Take up the sword and stay in the battle, okay? Got to do it. Father, thank you so much for giving us your word. And Lord, help us to take life seriously. Help us to realize that the devil is real, that he's trying with every trick he's got to bring down your kids. He's trying to deceive. He's trying to trip us up. And Lord, we look around us and we see it happening over and over and over. We see your kids who really don't know your word very well. They think they love you, but they haven't become disciplined. They haven't become equipped. And so, Lord, we pray that we will not be ignorant of these things. We pray that we will not be easy prey for Satan. Lord, we pray that we will get equipped and keep that armor in place and learn to take up your sword and learn to stay in the battle. Lord, we know that we've got a lifetime ahead of us of spiritual warfare. But help us, Lord, between now and then, just to keep remembering that there's a great day coming when we're going to be with you forever. And what we do in your kingdom is going to be determined by how well we get equipped now and how well we get prepared. So help us, Lord, to take you seriously and not fall into Satan's traps and be destroyed and be ruined and have lives that are just messed up with so badly, Lord. Lord, we see it and it hurts us and we weep and we ache for our brothers and sisters who are getting in trouble. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you and to get your word in our heart and to stay in the battle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.